Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words that I speak be acceptable to God and meaningful to you. Amen. Please be seated. Based on the gospel reading that you've just heard, the main thing that I'm going to ask you to focus on this evening is God's timing. In no way am I belittling the wonder of Lazarus being brought back to life eventually, but there are issues surrounding this account that I feel can't be ignored. When the message from Martha and Mary, sisters of Lazarus, reached Jesus, the words were, Lord, he whom you love is ill. And this was his remarkable response. This illness is not unto death, rather it is God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. The remarkable thing about that is, if you carefully check out the schedule of timing of this event, Lazarus was already dead when the message reached Jesus. It took 2 days for the messenger to get to the Jordan, so when Jesus returned to Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. It's difficult for us to believe that Jesus did not know that because of the insight that the Spirit of God had given him on numerous occasions. Jesus sees this as a signal from the Father that something tremendous is going to happen in connection with it. But strangely, Jesus didn't rush to see Lazarus, as you would think would be the normal reaction. Wouldn't you do this if someone you loved was taken ill? But no, instead he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Jesus and the disciples had just left Judea, probably a week or so before, driven out in their eyes because of the fear that the Jews were about to put Jesus to death. They must have felt a sense of relief to get out of the city with all of its intrigue and danger, because at any moment, all of them could be dragged before the authorities and put to death. They knew that the enemies of Jesus were hot in that intent, So for Jesus to leave must have relieved them and must have thought it a wise move for them all, for their safety. But now Jesus turns around and says, "Let's go back." That totally baffles them. Again, we see the disciples confused by Jesus' timing and actions and couldn't understand why they were going to be walking back into potential danger. This reveals some wonderful things about the way God works. First, his word here reveals that when Jesus left Judea, it was not because of fear. Had he left because of fear, he would never be going back now, because conditions were getting even worse than before. Why then did he leave? It was clearly a question of timing, not fear. Our Lord himself was in charge of the events that led to his death. He is, in fact, orchestrating this whole procedure again. So then, what does Jesus mean when he says, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" He is referring again to the appointed time of God. There are certainly 12 hours in the day. Our clock has only 12 numbers on it, not that there are only 12 hours in the day, because we know there's night as well, there are 24, but every clock records only 12 hours. Why? Because that's all the time we have to be awake in. The rest we usually spend sleeping or resting. But there are 12 hours appointed for activity. This wonderful symbol applies to each one of us. God has appointed a time for each of us, a time to walk in his light and attempt to do what he calls us to do. Jesus says he was glad he was not there when Lazarus died, for the sake of the disciples. He delayed his going for Mary and Martha's sake in order that their faith might be strengthened by that delay. Though they did not understand it, though they must have been filled with doubt and questions because of it, it was better for them to wait through the anxious hours until God would do his full and complete work. Well, it's all very well accepting this in the biblical context, but we also need to take it on board for ourselves now. Many times, the timing of things seems wrong. We so often hear people say that things happen all at once, and clashes occur, and timings are wrong. Deaths are often sudden and unexpected, as we all know, and certainly from recent passings within our church family. But it is true, isn't it? This is our wobbly faith, so many times, because we believe that God is going to work according to the logic of the situation as we understand it. We arrogantly think that we know more than the mighty, infinite mind of God. But Scripture drives us back to this. Believe his word. Trust his word, as it will not fail. We cannot understand the delays, but we should never question God's timing. Amen.
Job was overwhelmed by the poetic nature of God's divine power and wisdom. So let us join him as we pray and acknowledge with awe our mighty and mysterious God. Sovereign of all, it is beyond human power to express your greatness. We praise you for that truth, as we confess also that it can be hard to live with, for it can make you remote, distant, detached from our situation, oblivious to our need. We thank you that such times are rare, but they do come. Help us in such moments to gain inspiration from those who have felt the same before us, yet who have emerged from darkness to find that you have been there all along, leading them by the hand even when they could not feel it. We remember the many countries where injustice belittles human dignity, where men, women, children, and babies are enclosed in a darkness of misery and denied the healthy, happy life you would wish for them. Assure them of your continuing purpose, your enduring love, and your final triumph through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has come to make all things new. We see urban abuse around us. We pray for a live conscience, that we may create clean hearts in our cities. As we hear of raped forests and stripped mountains, we pray for an understanding of the delicacy of nature. Put a new right spirit in us, that we may restore and recover. As we experience global oil spills and plastic pollution and mourn marine life lost and birds maimed, we pray for enlightenment in our policies. Break down our mindless destruction, that our waters may speak once again of your wonders. Mother, Father God, who holds this distorted world in your hands, prompt us ever to be grateful for the intricacy and beauty of your creation, which sometimes catches us unawares. We bring to mind one glorious recent moment which has delighted us, and we give you thanks for it. Father of all, we are saddened by the death of Alan Coughlin, but your promises reassure us that he is at rest in your eternal love, light, and peace. We pray for his family as they grieve their sudden loss, that they may receive comfort and care from friends and neighbors around them. Slow us all down, Lord. Teach us the silence of humility, the silence of love, the silence that speaks without words, the silence of faith. Teach us to silence our own hearts and minds, that we may listen for the movement of your Holy Spirit and feel your presence in the depths of our being, day by day and moment by moment. May we wake tomorrow and live for your glory. Amen. And our collect, Almighty and Eternal God, who for the firmer foundation of our faith allowed your holiest apostle Thomas to doubt the resurrection of your Son, till word and sight convinced him, grant to us who have not seen that we may also believe and so confess Christ as our Lord and our God, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Christ's food in our souls, and our food shared like his. Christ's life in our hands, our life shaped by his. Christ's love in our hearts, our love worn through his. Christ's peace on our path following his. Giving God, bless all who have gathered around this table. May we know the fullness of your presence at every meal, and in all our sharing. Bless each one of us as we travel on, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.